Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
I am the business therapist, and you're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour on Ohm Times Radio. We have a wonderful show this afternoon. I just wanted to welcome everybody. Thank you for listening today. And wanted to get right in and give you a little bit of history about myself, who I am, and what I've been doing here as a business coach for the last few years. And then explain a little bit about what business coaching is, at least from my side of the view. And give you all some pointers and helpful hints. And you can always reach out to me at questions@ecjgroup.com. Check my website out at ecjgroup.com. And it's the whole goal here is to help you in the small business owner or the entrepreneur, somebody that may be thinking about starting a business and wanting to figure out, what do I do? How do I get started? That's something we're going to approach a little bit in depth today. Just to give you some ideas, I was actually working with a prospect here yesterday, and we're kind of testing the waters. He's not a client yet. My whole process takes several meetings usually, and there's got to be a fit both with the client or prospect and myself. Every program I do, everything I do for my clients is always custom made and tailored just for their needs. So you ask, what does a business coach do? A business coach, in some respects, is going to be your best friend and your worst nightmare. And I say that kind of with a little grin, because not a nightmare from the sense that it's somebody you can't deal with, but they're going to hold you accountable. A business coach is going to help you figure out what's working, what's not working, and what do you need to make things work better. It can be one of the questions I like to ask my clients and prospects is, what's keeping you awake at night? Why are you, what's working in your business? Why are, in the middle of the night, if you wake up, why are you waking up? What's bothering you? You know, is it your sales aren't where they should be? You've got staffing issues. You're trying to figure out how to grow bigger and you haven't and can't solve that problem. Those are all issues that a coach can be very beneficial in helping you analyze the issues and give you some guidance and direction. Now, recognize that, at least from the standpoint that I take, a coach does not give you any answers. I will help you. I even don't always give suggestions. I prefer the suggestions to come from my client. And then we'll analyze them and figure out if it fits the need, if it fits their requirements. But the whole idea of business coaching, for those of you that have been listening here before, I've been a business coach for the last 4 years. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, we just celebrated our fourth anniversary. And I come out of the world of IT, and I've got a background in accounting and some finance. And then I spent 35 years in the IT world, I've worked in corporations, I've worked in higher ed, college, as well as K-12, a large public high school, or public school, excuse me, not just high school, but a large public school district, as well as having several of my own businesses over the past 35 years. So a few years ago, kind of looking around for something new to do, was kind of between jobs at the time and decided that coaching had always been one of my goals. I've had a business coach for years, on and off the different times. And I actually went back and while I was kind of prepping for what to do and going through some training and preparing me to become a better business coach, I actually found some information with regards to that one of my goals was to be a business coach. It had no time set on it. This was actually a document I had prepared. When I found it, a few years ago, and this was a document I had originally prepared back in 2003. I think it was 2003 or 2004, so almost 10 years ago. So it's kind of interesting to see that that goals, first of all, once you have goals, and it's a goal that kind of got put on the wayside back when. There were a lot of things that changed in my life over that time frame. Some for the good, some, you know, all changes are, I can't say they're good or bad or indifferent. They're just changes, and you have to make the best of them. Some of them were avoidable, might have been avoidable. Some of them were not avoidable. Obviously, I was working at one of the jobs I was working at. I was laid off from. That was that. From my point, I would have liked to have avoided it, but it was unavoidable from their point. So those types of changes, you just have to kind of roll with the punches. That brings me a little bit in kind of a discussion that I had yesterday with a potential prospect or could be a client. He's been out of work not quite a year. Has tremendous amount of experiences in his field, and which I'm not going to go into detail with just because of confidentiality. Not that anybody would know who this gentleman is, but I don't use names ever. Or if the names I use, they're all made up. So for the sake of conversation, we'll call this guy John, not his real name. So John and I were talking, and this was our second conversation. And I had offered him an assessment last week when we first met, just as a way to help him better understand who he is and what his strengths and weaknesses were, and how he could make use that information when not just building a resume, but also when he was in an interview situation. And interview situations have changed a lot for those of you that have not looked for a job in a few years. Whether you're in the U.S. or any other country, I think the whole interview process has changed tremendously. And we got to talking a little bit more, and I'd gone through the assessment with him a little bit, some of which he was familiar with. He had seen some of the pieces that he took before. And I got to talking to him, and I said, you've got 30 years of experience in your skill set. Why don't you offer that as a service? Figure out, what could you do? There are other companies in your area of expertise that can use the knowledge that you have gained over the 30 years, usually much smaller companies, i.e. I was basically laying out the groundwork for the idea of him being a coach very specifically for his niche, which is always important. Now, that being said, he had never thought about, he had kind of thought, but never really thought that he had anything to offer, which I find very somewhat common occasionally, for people that you can turn out to be very successful entrepreneurs. They've just never given themselves any credit for it. And then the other thing that was concerning him was, what's involved? I don't know the ropes, don't know how to get started. Well, that's where I can step in. I said, I can help you with that. And if it's not me, I have other people that can help you with that. That's the easy part. But the first part is to figure out, is this something you want to do? Recognizing a lot of hard work, won't be an overnight success, very rarely happens, takes a continual effort in making and getting your word out there and getting people in front of you. It's something, and of course, basically what I'm describing is marketing, something that every small business owner has to do and has to be considerate of. I constantly run into the issue in an environment of small business owners that have a company, maybe an engineering company, might be a group of psychologists or something, and they're so focused on the work they're trying to do or the help they're trying to create from an engineering standpoint. They're trying to invent the next better mousetrap, and they're so focused on that they forget to market themselves. So, they, unfortunately, in this day and age, you cannot build something and expect people to show up on your doorstep. It does happen a little bit, but you still have to promote it. You have to get the word out. So the real key is, how do you get the word out? And there's a lot of different ways, but all of them entail marketing. And if you remember last week, we talked about two different approaches to marketing. There's the tactical marketing and there's strategic marketing. And they both have to work within each other. And you have to have a strategic plan for your marketing before you can do your tactical marketing, or you're just kind of spinning your wheels. Now, can you do tactical marketing without strategic marketing? Absolutely. But it gets very expensive. Which would you rather promote your products to? 1,000 people that you know are interested in buying at some time in their lifetime, or 100,000 people that you don't know if they're interested or not, but you're just throwing stuff out there. It's the idea that, you know, you basically have two approaches. You know, one of it is, you know, kind of the spaghetti approach or the shotgun approach. You throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. The other one becomes a very targeted approach. You create a value proposition. You create something that a potential customer or client would want, you know, something that you can give to them. And then you go out and you create a promotion that would attract their attention to get them to sign up, saying, you know, top 10 reasons for buying a new car, 5 reasons to build a swimming pool in your backyard, different anything, you know, these are physical things, 7 different reasons for hiring a coach. And then you get them to basically say, hey, yeah, that would be something I would be interested. So now you capture their information. So now you get invariably you get a name and an address, an email address. And now you have that smaller, focused, targeted list. And from that, you can then build your strategic campaign. And that in itself is a much better solution than kind of the spaghetti approach. Because now when you're targeted, you'll spend less money and get better results quicker. Now, recognizing we all know that people are never ready to buy immediately. If you've got 1,000 potential buyers, you may have 5 or 10 that might be ready to buy right now, but you've got 990 more there that you want to keep kind of in waiting, and you want to kind of keep their attention focused on you. So, you know, you send out information to them on an occasional basis. You build a campaign around them to attract their attention. Whether you do it weekly or monthly is up to you, or whatever time frame you figured necessary.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on OM Times Radio. Again, to reach me, feel free to drop an email to questions@ecjgroup.com and reach out and check my website at ecjgroup.com. As we went into the break, we were talking about the differential between strategic marketing and tactical marketing and the importance of both applying both and understanding that without the strategic marketing, that you're going to spend a lot more money on tactical marketing than you need to spend. So you've got a focused group now. You've not narrowed it down to 1,000 people. You may have 10 people ready to buy right now, but that still leaves you 990 people that you need to follow up with. and you need to follow up with on some type of consistent basis, depending on the type of product that you're promoting. And that's something that you just have to figure out what works. You know, during the summer months, if you're building a sunroom, or you're offering sunrooms, or you're building a swimming pool, when's the best time to put those in? I know down here, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, and we get all sorts of promotions for swimming pools in starting in November. November, December, January, February, partly because our weather is good enough in most cases. You know, we lose a few days that that they can build swimming pools in the wintertime here. So now you have them in the summertime. So if you're doing a campaign right now for building a swimming pool, you might not want to push the idea of somebody buying it right now. First of all, it's the hottest part of the year. And if you started building it now, by the time you design and build it, it would be ready in January. Who cares? On the other hand, if you start promoting in November, start the design work in November, start the build out in December, takes January and February maybe to finish it. So maybe sometime in March, the pool's finished, and March could be conceivably getting close to the time when you could start using it, and certainly by the 1st of May. I know when now there are going to be some things that could get in the way, i.e. the weather. When we put our pool in, we started the design phase in late October, I guess early November, and they started digging out the pool in December. We had some weather. In fact, I've got pictures of the hole with some of the structure put in. They hadn't done any concrete work yet, but they'd done some of the wire framing, the steel work, and it's full of snow. Now, we don't get a lot of snow here. But we had snow, and I've got a during that particular week. So we lost a little bit of time there. But my pool was ready, I think, about the 1st of April. We kind of had it ready. It was still a little chilly to go in. But that was the time frame. I didn't have to wait much longer after that till we could get in it. And right now, it's almost 100 degrees here today, or it may have gone over 100, and we have the pool to enjoy, we and of course all the bugs, but you know, they need a water source too, and so it's just a matter of timing as to when the most appropriate things. I have a different client here that I'm working with that she has a very busy schedule from about the 1st of June. She starts particular project she gets every year so far. She starts working on. She gets the first feedback on it in March. It's finalized by the 1st of May. She starts working on all the work that has to be involved around it around the 1st of June, with the first deadline about right now. And then her second deadline is October 15th. And then after that, she has some smaller jobs, but we're trying to build some of those up. And she starts making changes and adjusting the smaller jobs after she's finished. So what we had to do is we went back in. We've analyzed the first part of the year. And so now what we're doing, and we've started it. We haven't finished the whole process. Some of it will have to be finished next year because we ran out of time. But next year, from March till May, when she's got when the beginning of her big project is starting, she's also going to be planning, not necessarily implementing, but planning her secondary projects, the projects that are going to start in late October, November, and December, so that when she finishes in October, her primary project, she doesn't have to go back and start planning these other projects. They're already in the loop, and that she'll have along the way, there'll be a few days in September and probably a few days in August and September, now that I'm in looking at what we're doing, where she'll have to take a little bit of time, you know, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, to do some of the marketing and prep work and getting ready for the secondary jobs. But now when she gets that all done in October and November, she'll have a source of income or revenue that she would not otherwise have, because should basically be able to deliver some stuff to people. Possibly, if they want it before the holidays, before Christmas, where before it was a challenge to do some because you couldn't get their orders necessarily, and even if they could, they couldn't always get it done in time for the holidays. And this, of course, makes a huge difference from your timing calendar. So we're talking a little bit about, you know, we'll go back and talk to about the prospect who is considering starting kind of his own entrepreneurial business. And I get the question all the time, well, how do I know? Well, you've got to have a why. And there's a lot of books out there that will talk about it, but I do believe in finding some quality books out there. But the other real issue is why do you want, first of all, if you want to do your own business, why? What's the purpose behind it? And I'm not talking about your mission and vision statements. That's different. That's what you want the business to be and how you want it to run. The why is, why am I doing this? Why would I give up my, you know, 8-to-5 job that has a steady paycheck to go do this? That's a question you have to answer. And of course, my question to you always is, why are you working the 8-to-5 job? Is it for stability? Is it because you like what you're doing? Is it because you don't want the extra stress? And the question is, you know, the other real issue, of course, you know, why do I do my business coaching? It's something I enjoy doing, something I've wanted to do for years. You know, it's my wife and I, and the real reason is to help support her, is why I get up every morning and go out and do a lot of cold calling and talking to people, and sign up clients and try to make their lives better, which in turn makes my life better. I like helping people too. So, you've got to have a why, and the why has to resonate with you. It's got to be a reason for you to get out of bed every morning. I was talking to another client last week. No, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. He ended up canceling his meeting last week, but 2 weeks ago, and he was complaining about it. And we talked about this, I believe, last week a little bit. He was complaining about his poor timing and poor strategies towards managing time. And I had suggested to him, and this is a guy that gets out of bed at 4:30 every morning, and spends 2 hours at the gym, and gets back home about 7:30 in the morning, has a little bit of breakfast, and then tries to figure out, what do I do now? And I said, you know, he goes to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. More power to him. I'm a night owl, so I have a tendency to do the opposite or burn the candle at both ends, which is not always good. But the bigger issue is, how do you handle this? So I suggest to him that before he goes to bed, or during the evening hours when he's kind of sitting back and relaxing a little bit, that he take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and figure out, what do I need to be working on tomorrow? And list out 10 things that he wants to accomplish before 10 o'clock. So, and this way, when he gets back, he's had breakfast at 7:30 in the morning. So at 8 o'clock, when he's ready to kind of start work, he's ready to hit the ground running. He's already got the things he wants to accomplish. Now, that brings up a good opportunity here to discuss the idea of, do you need a list to get things done, or is there a better way? Now, I don't, you know, and I think truthfully, part of it depends on the type of individual you are and where you are, the type and who you are dealing with. If you're working on your own and you have no staff, maybe a contractor or two, maybe a virtual assistant, it gets a little more complicated. Sometimes you have to start working from lists so that you don't forget things. On the other hand, there was an article in, I believe it was Forbes yesterday, on the most successful, wealthiest of entrepreneurs. And you can probably think of 3 or 4 just from the conversation without naming names. And they don't work from lists. They work from a time from a calendar, from a schedule. And they schedule everything in 15-minute increments and put everything on that calendar that they do. Personal stuff, everything. So, and I highly recommend at least keeping a calendar, one calendar with everything on it. So you want your personal information on it as well as your business information, partly so that when you're making scheduling plans, that you've got a calendar right in front of you that shows, oh, wait a minute, I got a doctor's appointment, but can't schedule around that. So, you know, I've got for those of you that have listened before, you may or may not remember that I'm my wife's caregiver, that she is disabled and has a neurological disorder. So she has doctor's appointments that we have to take care of. one of her doctors, and I can't fault him for it. He's a great doctor. His schedule is very, I want to say, can be very erratic, you know, which means that if I schedule an 8:45 appointment, it could be 9:30 before I see him. And then there are other times I see him at 8:45. So it's real hit and miss on that day. He spends the necessary amount of time, no matter how long it is, with every patient. To give you an idea, the first time we went to see him, this was my wife had already had been seeing this type of doctor before, and we had to find a new doctor because the other one had had quit her practice here locally to go back to her home country. So this doctor came very highly recommended, and I called him up to make an appointment. And they says, "Well, even though she's been diagnosed, we still like to run all the tests again." I said, "Okay." And they say it'll take. She said typically it takes about 4 to 5 hours, and we start at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the first appointment. Now you know they have. I take it back. I think the first appointment was 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's unheard of these days. But we actually scheduled for 6. It's the only appointment I have ever missed in all the doctor's appointments, and because I overslept, partly because I went to bed too late the night before. So I was able to reschedule it for about 3 days later, and we made it that time at 7 a.m., which was a little better, still too early. And we were there. We were there from 7 a.m. in the morning till I think it was about 11. May have been even 11:30 before we finally got out there. Now we go back on follow-ups, and we're in and out. Most of the time we're in and out in 45 minutes. Every now and then it'll run over an hour or something if he gets behind. So we'll continue this conversation right after these messages. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're on Ohm Times Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Ohm Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Ohm Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Free your mind with Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. We're listening on Ohm Times Radio, and I wanted to welcome you back to the show. Check me out on ecjgroup.com, and feel free to drop me an email for any type of questions you have or comments at questions@ecjgroup.com. Again, if we don't have time to talk about them today, we'll certainly address them at next week. So we've been continuing on, and I got a little bit off task here, but kind of giving you an idea of all the responsibilities and how you schedule things. We're talking about calendaring, and I think it's very important that you do a combination in some respect. I don't have a problem with creating lists so that you have a guideline of what you're doing. You probably should pencil in on your calendar the 15-minute segments or even half-hour segments if that's what you want to do, with regards to what you need to cover and how long you think it will take. And of course, the real key here is that when you do stuff, you do it once. You touch it one time and you move it on. So now this becomes a little more complicated when you're a small business owner and you're a sole entrepreneur, because then there's a lot of times that you can't touch things just once because you get it in, it's something you have to follow up with, and you don't have time to follow it up with it right now. But it's something that I believe you should schedule. So you get something in, it needs some follow up, it needs some research done. Pick a time right then, schedule it, and then kind of attach that email to your calendar so that you copy and paste it out, put it in the notes, so that you know exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then figure out how to schedule it so that it gets off your table. And then as you start to grow your business, you've got to figure out there are all sorts of challenges, especially for a solo entrepreneur. And I tell solo entrepreneurs a lot of times that figure out first the tasks you don't like doing. And when can you afford to have somebody else do them for you? Because you'd much rather be selling your own your products or doing whatever your own products, if you're in R&D, maybe you'd much rather do that and have somebody else sell your products, and then and put all that into your calendar, touch the things once and move forward. It can be very challenging, especially in a solo entrepreneur, but in all small businesses, the biggest problem I always find out is that the issue is that trying to have the business owner basically get out of his own way. To grow your business, you've got to kind of give up a little bit of your business is one way of looking at it. And I understand the complexities behind this. Your business has been successful. You've grown it from a little seed. It's now becoming, it's 4 or 5 years old maybe. You've hit the $1 million or the $2 million or the $500,000 mark, whatever mark you were kind of aiming for. And now you're trying to figure out, how do I get it to the next size? How do I take $1 million and make it $1 million? Or how do I take how do I take $500,000 and make it $1 million? Or how do I take $1 million and make it $2 million? Or how do I take $2 million and make it $4 million? As that issue becomes, because you are only one person, you have two ways of handling it. One, if you can increase your prices, there you go. Increase your prices and move forward. I've talked to, in fact, even I've had my coach tell me that the ideal situation at the end of each year or whenever you choose is to go through your client list and figure out, are there any clients you really don't want to continue working with or that could be doing better and figure out where you should raise your prices and decide, now, do I raise my prices to everybody? So for all new people coming in, pay a higher price, or do I allow my current clients to continue at the structure they're on? Part of that depends on how you structured your contract. If they're on contract, you have to maintain them at that price until the contract expires. If they're not on contract, then you can give them 30, 60, 90-day notice, whatever you want, and saying, at that time, my price goes up. Typically, experience says you'll lose about 20% of your client base, but with a raise in price, you won't lose any in money, and potentially you'll pick up another 20% somewhere along the line. And it's that is one way to grow your business. That by raising your prices, you don't have to worry about expanding. Now, that doesn't work in all environments. If you're selling widgets, you can't do that necessarily. But if you are selling widgets and you want to sell more widgets, then you've got to expand your sales department. You got to get more people on the street pushing your product. You got to figure out more ways of getting the word out there. And that takes putting you outside of your own comfort zone in a lot of cases for a lot of business owners, because they now have to hire people and trust them. They have to build a relationship with them and say, okay, here are your responsibilities. Now, and that, and there's no question that that brings a lot of angst with it and a lot of concern. I know, and I've seen a lot of stories on businesses that just can't seem to make it when they have to kind of let go because they want to control everything. But to be successful, a lot of times, you have a child there. Your child is 4 or 5 years old, and you want your child to get older and get more educated. So you've got to give the child a little more breathing room. You know, somewhere along the line, he becomes a teenager, and you have to kind of let him go out and make some mistakes on his own and find people that he can deal with. In some respects, it works that way. And that can, there's no question that that's a huge issue for a lot of people, because it's their baby and they built it from the ground up, and they just cannot see anybody else doing anything, doing whatever they do better than them. So that's an issue that you have to deal with in order to grow your business. But if you want to increase the size of the business, you have to delegate. You have to give the responsibility for some of the work to other people. Take the things that you don't like doing or maybe not do as well, and let other people do them, whether they're an employee, or a contractor, does not matter. Same thing, same end result. But let's go back and talk a little bit more. As I said, I was talking to a prospect yesterday. We were evaluating the idea that he had the knowledge base for creating his own company and with the expertise in his field. So the way I left it with him, and I told him he had to do some soul searching, but the ideal situation would be to go through somewhat of a startup process. It's an entrepreneurial kind of program. But I do one on where you set goals and you help people. But the end result is setting goals. The beginning result is going through and trying to figure out, is this something I want to do? I'll help you sit down and figure out what your why is. And this is, any coach can do this, and most coaches will have some kind of program. So it's not just me that's doing this. This is something that I see all the time in kind of in a coaching environment for people wanting. Now, I wish more people that are starting out would take the effort to kind of find a coach and says, help me get started. Help me make sure I do all the right steps at the right time. That's a challenge because, first of all, a lot of startups are underfunded. They don't have enough money to get to really do what they're trying to do. And second of all, they're not sure they want to let go of anything even that close, even if it's with a business coach who's going to become a confidant of theirs. So those are all issues. But once you've gotten into the idea that you want to start, and as I say, the first thing you have to have is your why. Why are you doing this? So once you understand your why, then you've got to build a mission and vision statement. So the mission is the vision is where you want to be and what you want to do, and the mission is how you're going to get there. And then from that, you would start building some very rudimentary kind of goals to get started with. You know, what would I like to see? What am I expecting? You know, what kind of dollars would I like? You know, how many clients would I like to have in 6 months or a year? What kind of fees would I like to be charging? You know, those are all things you have to sit down. What's the process for starting a business in either my country or in the U.S., my state? You know, what kind of, I tell people, particularly startups and stuff, you've got to have some type of corporate structure, ideally. You know, whether you decide to go full corporation or an LLC, these are all things that have to be discussed, in my opinion, with an attorney, somebody that's an expert in the field. I can provide some guidance, but I'll always turn it over to an attorney for what fits their needs, because everybody's needs are slightly different, and that's the important thing to recognize. So these are all problematic areas that have to be dealt with, basically to get started on any kind of business plan. So you've got in, and from building the goals, you will. you'll take a look and figure out where do I want to be, how do I want to get there, and what do I have to be doing next? These are all startups. I mean, because obviously you need a checking account, you need some way of collecting money. Are you going to take credit cards? Are you going to make people pay you by check? Are you going to create a PayPal account? These are all things that you kind of have to go through. And there are people out there that will help. You know, business coaches and other business owners. I'll direct sometimes. You know, I'll help get people to the basics. But a lot of times, if they have their own CPA, I'll direct them to a CPA and let them do the work. So it's my goal from the standpoint of business coaching is to help you get started, not to necessarily be an expert in all the different areas. I'm certainly not a lawyer. I've got some accounting background, but I'm not a CPA. So there are areas there that can be dealt with by professionals and should be dealt with by professionals. That's the whole point. That's why they're there. So, but now you've got started, and of course, now what's the next thing? How do I get the word out? So that's where marketing comes in. And again, as we talked about, the idea is to build a strategic marketing plan first. At least that's the thought process. And from the strategic marketing plan, you build a tactical marketing plan. Tactical marketing plan is how you contact your potential customers. So the real key here is what are the steps that you have to do? So now that you've got your mission and vision, you know what your why is. If it's a service, you need to define that service and how you're going to promote it. And one of the things I always talk to people about is what value are you bringing in? Why would somebody hire you over somebody else? Do you have a certain expertise in an area? Let's promote that. Let's figure that out. So we'll continue this discussion, talk more about some tactical marketing after these messages. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on Om Times Radio. We'll be back right after these messages.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffee and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business. The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolish. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour on Om Times Radio. I am Elliot Jollis, the business therapist, and we've been discussing the last 45 minutes or so about how do you get started, and once you're started, how do you go about kind of doing the marketing to get yourself out there? So we left it. You've gone through. You've decided you wanted to start your own business. You've identified a value you can bring to a business. You know what your why is. You've designed your mission and vision statement, which are all pertinent to these. And then the next thing, one of the next steps I would approach you with is to figure out some goals. What do you want to do? How do you want to accomplish it? And along with that, though, there's those little things that you kind of forget about that you just have to figure out how to do. You know, am I going to work out of my home? Am I going to get an office? You know, you need to build a budget too. That's the most important thing of all of this before you while you're going through your why and your mission and vision, you have to start putting some numbers down and figuring out how am I going to get income? What am I going to charge? How much am I spending every month? And is there a profit there? Am I bringing enough in to take care of the family? If that's your why, or is this, and this is whether it's a full-time endeavor or a part-time endeavor. This is something that has to be done before you really even begin. You've got to kind of put some numbers down and say, okay, I can make a go of this. You know, now, depending on what you're doing, I know one of the business I had, almost 15, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, actually, was a huge undertaking. We had construction involved. We owned the property already, but I put a huge business plan together. We took it to the bank. The bank sat down with us and we figured out what it would take and they agreed to it. So all of a sudden we had the money to get the work done and we had to get moving. And so that it's very important whether you use a bank or not is up to you, whether you want to self-finance it and take it out of your own savings, or I don't suggest taking it out of your retirement unless you have an enormous amount of retirement. We'll say, and the situation happens here, I think, in the U.S. more than anywhere else, though I don't really know that. But not as much as it used to, that you've left a corporation either with a nice retirement package, or you got a package for leaving and you've got some money there and you want to take some of that money and turn it into a business, that's fine. But I find it the one area I have discovered that some people don't do is that they don't sit down and figure out, what do I need to get? How much do I need to be bringing in so that I have some goals to look for? And these don't have to be very precise to start with. You've got to have an understanding that what your expenses are going to be, you know, within a few dollars. But, you know, if you're driving everywhere, you know you're going to have gas, you're going to have some kind of insurance. If you need a separate vehicle, you're going to need that. If you've got your current vehicle, your car payment, if you have a payment, has to be included in that. But you have to build a budget together. And then you take that budget and you put your income as to how many widgets you're selling, or if you're offering services, how many services you're offering, or how many clients you need to bring in. And one of the things you have to figure out is, where's my break even? How long is it going to take me? You know, if I have 10 clients paying me $1,000 a month, you know, that's $10,000 a month. Is that enough money? Does that pay my immediate business bills plus provide for my family? And those are all issues that have to be designed as you're getting started, because somewhere along the line, if you can't make those numbers work, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. There's good and bad news about the small business environment in the U.S. You know, the U.S. classifies any business with fewer than 500 employees as a small business. Approximately 94%, I believe, of the businesses out there are classified as small businesses. That's how, you know, and there are lots of them. And there's 300 or 400 small businesses starting every week, maybe even more. Unfortunately, there's usually 600 or 700 businesses closing every week. I can't tell you why. Don't know. Some I do know. Some is poor planning. Some is the thing that disturbs me the most is when you've got a restaurant structure and you've done all your due diligence and all of a sudden it just doesn't work for some reason. Either things don't work out the way you were. There can be outside factors occasionally. You know, you might have picked the best place in town to open a restaurant, and a week after you open, the city comes in and starts a construction project and closes your street down for 6 months, and that's horrible. Can you prevent that? Not necessarily. You can kind of gear for you. Sometimes you can gear for it. Sometimes you can figure out a way to work around it, making it worthwhile for people to come just to keep the doors open. But some of those are things outside your control, but they will affect you directly, and they do affect your business. But the most important part, and I run into this a lot with my clients and prospects and stuff, is that they're out there trying to figure out why they're not getting customers, and nobody knows who they are. And you just can't build a website and expect people to find it. You've got to get people. You've got to go to the people. The people aren't going to necessarily come to you, not initially. You have to, you know, I've got a client I'm working with right now that has a somewhat of a niche market, but there are other people in that same niche. But one of the things he offers is he'll do smaller scale work, where a lot of companies won't do the work unless it's going to be a large size project. He'll do some of the small stuff, the stuff that can take a few days instead of weeks or months. And almost everything he does, though, has to be bid. There has to be some type of price attached to it, and it has to go out for bid. He built a website, or had a company build it. It's cost him a little more than he expected because he didn't quite follow through, read all the contract materials. But he got it built, and it's been up now a little over a month, and he's wondering why he has no traffic. And, of course, the goal is because he doesn't know – nobody knows he's there. It just doesn't – there's no advertising unless you're promoting in some way, shape, or form. There is no advertising for that. So you have to go out and attract and create a value, create a reason for people to find you, and then you have to do some spot advertising or you know, post something on Facebook, post something on areas where people would look, and pick up the phone. You know, find 100 potential clients and cold call them. And I hear it all the time. I don't like cold calling. I know it. So find 100 people, 100 businesses, and sit in a room, lock yourself in a room, and start making phone calls. Doesn't matter whether you get any attention or not. By the time you're done, you'll be okay with cold calling because you'll get used to it. First of all, it builds in repetition. It's not a fun thing to do all the time. It's certainly an area that people are not enthralled with. And nowadays, it's even more important to understand that you, unless you have a commodity type product, and even especially with a commodity type product that can be price driven, people are looking for relationships. They're looking for for a reason for buying from you versus from buying the guy down the street. If you're selling a service, you have to go one better. You have to be there when they wouldn't expect you to be there. You have to go out and give that extra little oomph to entice people that your service is better than somebody else's service. If you have a specific, it's all a process, and that's the big key, is to build processes, to identify how to do it, and then to repeat over and over. And if it doesn't work, and I also tell people is don't get stuck on it. You know, make 20 phone calls with this promotional with a promotion you're working. If it doesn't work, figure out what's not working. Either talk to the people you're talking to and said, hey, can you tell me why? What did entice you? Is there something wrong with my approach? Sometimes you'll get some response that way. Others you won't. Talk to business friends that are there to help you and support you. Give them the spiel you're giving to your prospects and find out what they said. Reach out and find a business coach who will help you go through this process. It's very important that if you're not being successful, that you don't continue down that path and expect different results. If you've done 20, it didn't work, figure out what has to be changed and do 20 more. You might even go back and revisit one or two of the others of the people you've called the first time that turned you down, and after you've made a change, and see if they're now more interested. It's not an easy cycle. It's probably one of the hardest things when you're first getting started. But and then don't be afraid to look out and reach for people to help you connect. Find people that do not necessarily your work, but work My brain went south all of a sudden here, but that works in conjunction with work you're doing. So if you're doing I've got one guy that does structured cabling, that's internet wiring and stuff. So find a contractor. Go to the contractor and find out if you can help him. Tell him you'll be available in case he has somebody he regularly uses. Well, just say, hey, if you ever get a chance, this guy can't do it, give me a call. Let's see if I can help come in and fix you in a bind. Go out and reach to customers that may not need structured cabling right now, or may want to add a connection here or there. It's a small, very small job. A lot of companies won't do it. So there's a lot of issues. This hour has gone by way too fast, as it always does. I look forward to we'll continue this discussion more, and we're going to talk a little bit more about SEO next week and move forward from there. You've been listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you've been listening on Ohm Times Radio. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Feel free to drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com. Check out my website at ecjgroup.com. I'd be happy to get some hair feedback from y'all. We'll look forward to talking to y'all next week. Again, this is Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist, and you're listening on Ohm Times Radio. Y'all have a nice afternoon. Take care. Bye-bye.